station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice, resource information, and tips on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so that means we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. If you're listening to us live, you're already there. So just go to the top, click the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. This will take you directly to our archive page, and you can view a list of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. You just go to iTunes, type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and you will find all about our past guests. Now, our future guests are listed on our official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityshow.com. Questionrealityshow.com. All right, so we're booked all the way until the end of August. Thank you, people, for making my show so popular. Last year, I was booked a year in advance, so I'm slowing down a little bit. We got to pump it up a little bit more now. So if you or anyone that you know works professionally in the entertainment industry and they want to come on the show, now they don't have to live in California because we do what's called remote shows. Our guest today, Kendra Cunningham, she is in another state and we're doing the show remotely. So you don't have to be in California. You just have to work in the entertainment industry. So if you're in New York, Chicago, Miami, by all means, you can still be a guest on the show. Now, today, get your pens and paper. Everybody, you know we got a great little advertisement for you. Just want to tell you, we have a fantastic guest today. We're going to talk to her in a couple minutes. Her name is Kendra Cunningham. Kendra Cunningham, and I want you to check out her website, Kendra, KendraCunningham.com, KendraCunningham.com. She is our comedian for the day. Now, as you know, if you got the email, you're on our fan list. There was a brief bio about her. Don't want to spoil it too much. I'm going to talk to you about her later. But if you go to our website right now, you can find out just a little bit while we go over our advertisement for the week, because I have a wonderful class for you. Now, it is at the Actors Creative Workshop, and they're currently registering our week. This week, our focus is on kids. So this is an improv for kids class from the first to the sixth grade, and it's given by actress-comedian Alicia Gaddis. And it's improv is kind of like it's the art of acting in the now. So, and then now, as you know, is the time for your kid to start working on their improv skills so they can get out there and make money so you don't have to pay all the bills. I say, if you got a kid, put them to work. Put them to work any way they can. So whether your child's just a beginner that's searching for like a lively new challenge, because you know those kids can be, I don't have kids, but I know that they are a handful and they're always looking for something. So if your child is lively and is interested in getting entertainment, has expressed that to you, this would be a really great new challenge. This lady, Alicia Gaddis, she's a seasoned pro. You know, she'll be able to help your child move to the level of entertainment that they want to get to, even if it's just improv training to start out with. And you need even a seasoned pro needs improv training in order to book more gigs. So Alicia is going to cater to the individual's needs, to the child's needs, in order to really bring out each student's full potential. Now, the classes are, let's see, they're Tuesdays, six classes, Tuesdays 3:30 to 5:30. Again, Tuesdays 3:30 to 5:30, and the dates are you ready? April the 12th, April the 19th, April the 26th, May 10th, May 17th, and May 24th is the presentation day. Again, April 12th, 19th, 26th, May 10th, and the presentation day is on the 24th. And the cost, really, I found it to be quite low. It's only $199 for the 6 weeks. The cost is limited, of course, so you might want to get on that right away. Now, just a little bit, and I'll give you that information how to contact the class in a minute, but just really quick about the class. This lady, Alicia Gaddis, her courses, they focus on the innate humor, which are in all children, but it's also she also tries to promote the focus and also to help the child build confidence. And her program will help and develop advance your child's natural abilities while enhancing memory and listening skills through traditional improvisational techniques and games. Now, you know, as an actor, it is just mandatory. You just need to take improv classes. If you don't know that, well, you know it now. And most importantly, this particular course promotes and celebrates each child's sense of humor, their individuality, and their creativity. And it's really good to get that out in the beginning and to promote it, and not stifle it. And then each week in the class, the sessions, the students, they learn to actively participate and in improv comedy to the fullest extent. So they're going to get very, very comfortable really, really fast with doing comedy. And the emphasis of the class, they place it on trust, listening, focus, and more importantly, it's about fun. So it's going to keep the attention of the children. Now, her classes, they offer a place of structured play and learning that's not self-aware. So in these classes, there's no, you know, bullying or bashing or anything like that. It is all about fun in a safe environment. And towards the end of the session, what they do is they move into scene and character work, and exploration is then based on music and movement and game playing and fundamental improvisation techniques. So, and then that last day that I was telling you about, which is pretty much for every comedy class that you take, the last day of the session, you can invite friends and family, and they're invited to watch you actually perform. It's the presentation day. So you can watch your little star shine to the fullest extent of the law that they have. So a small performance based on skills that they learn during the course. And that is kind of like the day. And that's the day you want to whip out your cameras. But very exciting. I highly recommend that you go. I feel so excited about this class. I wish I could take it myself. So parents, you got to get on the horn now to get your little child booked. And you can check out the website. It's actorscreativeworkshop.com. Actorscreativeworkshop.com. Now, to sign up for the class or inquire about payment options, I think they even have a payment plan, you want to email info@actorscreativeworkshop.com. Again, the coach, fantastic, Alicia Gaddis. She studied at the prestigious New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, University of Sydney, Australia. She's appeared all over the world, from New York's Broadway theaters to Australia's Sydney Opera House, from big stages to small. She also appears regularly on the Comedy Talk Network, MTV, AMC, and the Comedy Central stage. And currently, Alicia is stirring up consistent chuckles over at the Improv Olympic West, which is here in L.A., and the world-famous Comedy Store, which is on Sunset Boulevard here. She does Stand Up New York. She does Gotham Comedy Club and many other avenues which are familiar to comedians. And she's open for people like Drew Carey, Sarah Silverman, Maria Bamford, and more. And she just recently received a Producers Guild of America nomination nomination for the hit comedy series that she stars in, Consultant. So she just returned from touring the nation with her critically acclaimed solo show, The Search for Something Grand. So she is very, very prestigious. She rocks it out with the hit kindy group Lucy, Lucky Diaz and the Family Jam Band, which is currently number one, I think, on Sirius XM Radio. And USA Today's Best New Artist, she was voted 2010. She also writes children's books, the first which will be available in stores worldwide in this summer, actually. And again, she's been teaching classes forever. She teaches acting and improv classes across the nation at the top notch university. So this is a woman. She has tons of credit. Check her out on IMDb. Her credits include Mad Men, Scrubs, House, blah, blah, blah. You could go on forever, but she's on IMDb, and she's also a member of SAG and AEA. So your kids are completely safe with her. So again, go to actorscreativeworkshop.com and get those kids registered. Get them out of your hair for a couple of hours. Woo! All right, now back to our wonderful guest. We also have a comedian on our show today. I know last week we had the wonderful Mr. Yiannis Pappas, and today we also have a very, 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 very funny stand-up comic on the show. Again, her name is Kendra Cunningham, and she was referred to me by Mr. Joel Richardson, and Joel Richardson referred Yiannis Pappas last week, and Kendra, now she has appeared in sketches on shows such as Jimmy Fallon, Tyra Banks, and Saturday Night Live, and Kendra was the first runner-up in the Ladies of Laughter competition and the Boston Comedy Festival. She headlined for Dick Doherty in his various comedy clubs and toured with 5 Funny Females performing up and down the East Coast. And Kendra has utilized, when I found out she had this degree, I was just rolling. I'm like, oh my God, I love this woman. She has utilized her master's degree in forensic psychology by participating in a roundtable discussion on Fox News Online Cops and Crimes Hour. You know, everybody who knows me knows I love my CSI shows. So, boy, I'm gonna find out why she didn't actually go into that field, because that seems like an utterly fascinating field, at least for an hour every week. I don't know. Maybe it's not really like that. We're going to find out. And she also has recently she completed a mock self-help book tentatively titled This Rounds on Me, A Non-Drinker's Guide to Social Acceptance. Now, that is a cool title. And her blog, Blonde Logic, was featured in the New York Times. Kendra filmed her first lead role in a feature film in Rio de Janeiro in March 2010. How exciting is that to even say Rio de Janeiro? And Kendra also wrote and starred in a comedic short entitled Lonely Girl 48, which won at the Boston Comedy Festival in 2010, and it'll be viewed at the Palm Beach Women's International Film Festival in April. So, April's here. We got to find out when that's coming on. So, again, hey, Kendra, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for being a guest today and providing such valuable career advice for our audience on the profession of being a stand-up comic. We really appreciate your time and effort on that. There's so many people who want to be comedians, and I really appreciate you taking time to give us a little bit of inside scoop on the field.
Oh, my pleasure. Anyone who ever asks me about it, I always encourage them to try it.
Yeah, hey, everybody should try comedy. I mean, what else is there but comedy? I just think you should be laughing at least half of the day. If you're not...
I totally agree with you on that.
If you can't laugh half the day by yourself, then get a cocktail, and that'll help you with the rest of the day. Now, Mr. Joel Richardson referred you to us. Is he your manager or booking agent? What's the relationship with that wonderful Mr. Joel Richardson?
He does a lot of stuff for me. Mostly lately he's been managing me and doing a little bit of booking, but I've been doing a lot of booking on my own recently, just because he's gotten tied up. He has a million things going on. I don't know how much you know about him, but he has 2 radio shows of his own and a whole company based on special events, comedy, fundraising, all that stuff. So he's super, super busy, and booking has become less of his priority.
Well, I do. All I did know was that he was the host of the weekly radio show, The Comedy Point, which I think he does that. Yeah, on I think he comes Tuesday nights. So you want to check Joel out? Let's give him a little plug. TheComedyPoint.com. Hey, Joel.
Yeah,
there you
and
go.
He also has a his website, which is I believe it's Comedy Point. The website too is called The Comedy Point, and I do a comedic relationship blog on there every week with another comic named John Powers. It's called Beauty and the Beast, and they actually have a lot of really interesting, funny content on there in addition to the Beauty and the Beast column.
Oh, that sounds exciting. So we got to definitely check that out. So thecomedypoint.com, everybody, write it down. Keep your pen and paper out. Now you got to get ready because she's going to be blowing these tips out at you and this advice. So let's get started. All right. So let me ask you, Kendra, what career did you see yourself pursuing as a child? I mean, did you know when you were little you wanted to be a comedian? Did you see somebody on TV? What was going on there?
No, I never really thought about it until I was an adult, but I always thought I was going to be a psychologist, and a part of me thinks that maybe at some point in my life I will go back to doing that. But, I actually just always would like to, kind of like play on words and stuff like that. And then when I came to New York, I took this comedic writing class at the Gotham Writers Workshop, which was, very basic, you know, comedy 101, so to speak. And ended up at the end of the course, the guy who taught it was a stand-up comic, and he offered to let me do 3 minutes in one of his shows, and I did it. And that's how the whole thing started. And that was the first time I ever performed was about 10 years ago, and I was still working in hedge funds.
Oh, my Lord. Hedge funds and comedian. Wow.
Yeah, I went from one predominantly male business to another.
That's something. And hey, I bet you got great material from being in the hedge fund business. Oh, boy, you got a lot of good material, I'm sure. So let me ask you, we found out sort of the steps that you took to pursue a career in comedy. Was there anything else that you did when you were first starting out? What steps do you suggest that a beginner actually take to get started? Let me ask you this. Let's break it down this way. Let's say that I were to ask you, what do you feel is the best route to take if you want to pursue a career in comedy and you're in the following phases of your life? Say you're a teenager, middle-aged, and a senior. Which routes would you take?
Okay. If as a teenager wanting to do comedy, well, to me, regardless of what stage of life you're in, my personal thing is, I think I love writing, and I think writing is really important to, I think that's sort of like the basis of any good act. It's almost like the foundation. Like if it was a house, it would be the foundation of the house that you build upon. So I would say, first of all, write. I mean, every day, get up and just write some thoughts down. And even if it's not funny, just any topic that you have a point of view on, just write. And eventually something funny will come out of it. I think that I always like to take classes, and I think most of that was because of accountability and also camaraderie. You know, you get to, stand-up comedy is a very isolating business. You know, you're on stage by yourself. You're not really practicing that much with anybody else. So taking classes and having that sort of community atmosphere was really helped me a lot, I think.
Now, I think that information is applicable to all three, teenager, middle age, and senior. So I think taking the classes, you can be I believe you could be a comic at any age. So,
absolutely.
You know, look at Phyllis Diller. I think she was 47.
Oh my God.
So many people got started in their latter years. So don't give up on the dream. You can still do it. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you had mentioned earlier, you had mentioned earlier that we know that you have a master's in forensic psychology. What's your viewpoint on actually having a college education in a different field sort of as a backup plan if you are or decide to pursue a career in the entertainment industry, specifically the career of a comedian?
Well, you know, I think that education is really important, and whether you use it, I mean, my forensic psychology degree, I don't actually use it, apply it in a daily basis. I did work in the court system for a year with the mentally ill, but I think that I'm a huge advocate for education. I'm always trying to take a class, whether it's an improv or philosophy or something, just to keep the brain moving, because I think that in order to be, you know, fresh and forming opinions. I think one of the biggest things about comedy is having a strong point of view, having an opinion about something. And I think in order to do that, your mind has to be active, you know?
Exactly.
Nothing worse than feeling like bored and stagnant mentally, you know?
But, exactly. I mean, and you go to the classes and you meet, God knows there's a chance you're going to meet a freak show there, and there's material. There's material right there.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's right. That's where you meet your characters and you start getting then you can start imitating other people's point of view, right?
Exactly. Oh, my God. You walk out the door, you could just take a pen and paper in hand and start writing. You get on the bus, you're going to find a ton of material. But you just have to have that mindset to think funny. You always got to be thinking, what's funny in this situation? Where's the funny? Be looking for the funny is what I think. You know, don't be looking for, oh my God, am I going to be knocked on the head any minute and someone going to steal my purse or somebody going to try to do, and a lot of people are, they try to be comedians, but they're worried because they have to worry about the bills or they have to worry about their personal situation. There's so many things going on in our lives that they have a hard time finding the funny, and that's real hard to separate for sure. Now, let me ask you, you decided to pursue comedy. Now, I watched CSI, and I don't know if being the forensic psychologist is actually related to the forensic investigator. I think that might be a little different. But what exactly, just for my own personal knowledge, what exactly does a forensic psychologist do?
Well, you can do, there's actually a lot of different things you can do with it. What I used it, I worked in the court system with people who had a history of mental illness, and they kept getting in trouble with the law. So I was basically like an advocate for them, and I would help them to try to avoid doing jail time and make a plea with the judge and promise that they're going to, you know, go to counseling and get Medicaid and stay sober and all that stuff. But a degree in forensic psychology can be used to be, you can work with jury selection. You can work with, within legislature to, you know, to advocate for legislative, demands for different laws for the benefits of the mentally ill. It's such a broad thing that you can choose something to focus on and then go for that. I had gone to it because I really wanted to work individually with people, and I did it for a little bit over a year, and it was just between that and comedy, and I was just getting really burnt out. So I've been focusing on comedy now for like 3.5 years, and it's things have really been moving along, so it's been good.
Well, I like when you were first describing what the profession entailed, I was like, oh, so she's the one that helps Gary Busey and Lindsay Lohan and all of those people. There's definitely a job in there. Oh, that's a good backup.
Well,
there, so.
If I got to work with people like that, I think I'd have a really good comedic repertoire.
I know. See, there you go. People, get a degree in forensic psychology and go represent some of these stars that are being busted right and left. Go find your own Winona. All right, let's see. Now, let me ask you, what do you think are 5 characteristic traits to make it a successful comedian? What absolutely do you have to have? You know, you have to have patience, persistence. What are your 5 characteristic traits, do you think?
I would say, well, first of all, you have to, I don't know how else to put it, but I guess be thick-skinned. I mean, you have to take rejection lightly. And that's not so easy to do. I guess over the years you start to learn how to do it better. So I guess the better way to phrase that would be to and the power of positive thinking, you know, that no matter what happens and how many times people tell you no, that you're still going to pursue it. That, I think, just being confident in that, in believing that, you're funny, constantly being writing new material and trying new things, whether you're doing improv classes or filming short films or just trying to keep, I think, to me, just focusing simply on stand-up comedy and not having sort of like a repertoire of other things that you can do is not good in this day and age, because everybody's looking for someone who can do a little bit of everything, you know, and be good at all of it, which is, you know, so, and what else? I guess I would say definitely persistence, going out and performing as much as you can, even though, you know, I mean, everybody wants to have a personal life. And sometimes you're trying to get out to all these shows and get your time in and put your face out there. It takes up a lot of time and you have to sacrifice romance. I mean, by romance, I mean sex.
Lisa Lappin doesn't sacrifice sex. I just watched something on her on Comedy Central. You know, Lisa Lampanelli, I tell you, when I was first exposed to her on television, my mouth was wide open. And I tell you, I like comedy about everything. I don't care. I like comedy about fat people, skinny people. It doesn't matter, white, black, you name it. I love every type of comedy. But I got to tell you, I was taken aback by Miss Lisa Lampanelli. And everybody kept saying, oh, you know, she's going to grow on you. She's going to grow. You give her another chance. I said, no, I can't take it. I'm shocked. And sure enough, I said, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead. So I just watched her special, Tough Love. And my perspective completely changed. This woman is brilliant. First of all, I cannot believe that she's able to get away with the things that she says. I mean, there is no race, religion, sex, or creed that she does not get away with saying something about. And for her to be able to do that and have the people laugh at this, that is just genius. That is brilliant. I think really one of the most brilliant comedians. So I got to say that my perspective on this woman completely changed.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. And she's one of those people who's the other thing I was going to say about comedy is like to have a really clear idea of who you are. And she's done that. I mean, she knows who she is. She knows what her act is. And she's very consistent, you know.
That was one of the questions I asked Giannis Pappas last week. I said, how do you actually develop a comedic persona? How do you become funny? Because when you think about famous comedians, they all have their own style. You know, when you think of Steve Martin, you know exactly what kind of comedy he does. When you think of Chris Rock, you think of what you can just see them in your mind. You just know what kind of comedy they have. Roseanne Barr, Lisa Lampanelli, you just know what they're about. How do you develop your own persona? I mean, how do you do it? How does one even begin to do that?
I mean, I think it's from what I've seen, you know, through my own development and seeing other people develop, I think it's just something that happens over time. You just start getting, the more you perform, the more you start realizing this is when I, you know, there's a famous story about Louis Black. He, you know, was a comedian forever and for years. I think he was like 10 or 15 years in, and he started to realize that when he got angry on stage, people loved him. And now if you ever, when you watch him, he's always, he's 95% of his act, he's like enraged or verklempt or like irritated, you know? And that's, I guess just over time you start to realize, hey, this is what people really respond to in me, and that's what I should go for.
I would imagine that you should tape yourself and maybe ask your family and friends to be honest with you and not sugarcoat it and tell me, am I funny? Am I not funny? What do you And I think that you have to put a lot of your personality into it. I don't know. I mean, unlike an actor where if you have to do a part as a serial killer, yeah, there's something you got to draw from. But in comedy, I think that you some of your personality has to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think there is a small percentage of comics who get up and are completely different from what they are. You know, they play a character on stage, so to speak, whereas most comedians go up and they're playing a magnified version of some aspect of themselves, you know. I think the best comedians are people who are really tapping into who they are and just making it more funny.
Now, that brings me to something that I want to ask you that I ask every comedian I meet. I've confirmed several times from comedians that the rumors that I've heard from their friends and their family members, I mean, they're always telling me, oh, my God, you don't really know him. Oh, you don't really know her. They are dark and moody and unpleasant. And I'm like, well, they seem like they're having so much fun. Fun up on the stage. You're like, oh, they are, until they get off the stage and then they make my life miserable. It's like a living hell over here. Is that true? I mean, I'm still looking for one comedian to dispute that fact, because to me it's kind of hard to believe. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think that I do think there are a lot of really dark comics out there, but I also think that one of the things about being a comic is I think that comedy is really like truth, you know, it's people trying to be truthful. And I think that a lot of comics, I guess, are very transparent in their emotional world, you know, whereas a lot of people who aren't comics are probably hiding when they're, you know, depressed or feeling like crap. Comics are a little bit more like honest about it. So I think people do think, oh yeah, they're funny, but when you get to know them, they're dark because they talk about all this crap that a lot of people are like, I think, you know, if you were to talk to a hedge fund manager, he's not going to sit there and really admit if he's feeling like a tool, you know. He's one of these guys who's always going to be like stroking himself, and he doesn't want anyone to ever know when he's feeling like crap. So,
right.
You know what I mean? It's a different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, maybe when the comedian is off stage, they just talk about all the stuff that other people do, and you just kind of think they're dark and moody, but they're talking about the same damn things that you are. They're just not making you laugh. So you think they're
dark and moody, right?
Maybe you're the one that's dark and moody. Now, what are the trials and tribulations or the ups and downs of being a comedian? What would you say they are?
Well, I mean, definitely, it's not.
I know a down, Kendra, is the money. I know.
Yeah, that's the biggest down.
There's not much money in it.
There's not much money in it, and it's a lot of. I mean, it's even to get paying gigs is really hard, and when you do get them, it's you know, anybody can invite you to come and do a show somewhere and be like, oh yeah, it's going to be this way, and then you show up and it's, you know, in the back of a barbecue shop with a microphone that barely works and no spotlight and the people don't want to listen. You know, you never know what you're getting into when you go to half of these shows, unless you go into a club show, of course. You know, I think that the other downside is, to me, I really like, I mean, recently I've been doing a lot of short films, and I really like collaborating with other people. So I think one of the downsides of stand-up comedy is you're always, you know, you're performing, even if there are other comics on the show, you're always performing by yourself, and you're working on your act pretty much by yourself, unless you're going to a coach or something. So it's a little isolating, and, you know, I think, to me, that's one of the things I wish it was a little bit more of a community aspect to it.
Now, of course, the up would be you go out there and you nail it and you get lots of laughs and people are roaring. So I imagine
I think, as silly as it sounds, I think people think it's cool. You know, they're like, oh, you do stand-up comedy? Like, they think that it's a scary thing that takes balls to do, so they're impressed right off the bat, even if they've never seen you. I mean, you could be the worst stand-up comic, and you say, hey, I do stand-up comedy, and people are like, oh, wow, she's cool, you know?
Yeah, because that's one of people's number one fears to speak.
Right, exactly.
So if you can do it, boy, you're a winner in their eyes. Now, how important, what is the most important thing do you feel to learn about the business side of being a comedian?
There's still stuff that I'm learning about the business side. I mean, in terms of, are you talking about in terms of like the agents and bookers and managers?
Exactly. Knowing how that behind the scenes stuff works, not the actual getting up performing, but the business aspect of it.
Yeah, it's really, you know what, it's funny, I was just talking to another comic about that the other day. Sometimes it seems like it's a big secret world that, you know, it's really weird. You would think, I mean, when you go to apply for like a 9-to-5 job, you can go on monster.com or you can go to companies' websites and you can get like HR contacts and job listings, you know what I mean? But when you go to do something in the comedic world, it's like even trying to find out who someone's manager is not the most easy thing to do. You have to, you know, they have some websites that cost money to get on and supposedly they have like information like that, but it's really weird. You really have to just talk to people and ask around. And I mean, I was in the Woman in Comedy Festival just about 2 weeks ago up in Boston. And a lot of these festivals are good because you get to meet, there are managers there and there are bookers there and there are people in the industry, whether they're just, you know, even people who review comedy. So I think going to festivals is a good way to meet people like that. Word of mouth, talking to other people. It's not something where you can say, hey, go to the managers and agents for comics manual and you'll find it all there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because like if you're an actor, there are websites like Actors Access, LA Casting, then they have you go to Samuel French and there's a whole book on agents and managers and where you can send your headshots and resumes. So there's nothing like that for comedians?
Not really. Every once in a while, what is it called? The Ross Report.
Right.
They'll have, and I really haven't looked lately, but the last, maybe about a year ago, they had a special edition where it was all comedic stuff. So they had like managers, agents, casting agents and little bios on them and what they were looking for. But that was the only thing that I could find that was really all that information consolidated into one thing, you know.
Do you recommend looking for an agent these days or a manager, or do you recommend doing it yourself?
I think that you should look for managers and agents, but not because you think that they're going to do all the work for you. I think that it's good to have them. It's good to have as many people on your team as possible. But no one's ever going to work as hard for you as you are, you know, like even if you get a manager, they're going to be managing five other people. So you always have to be constantly doing your own stuff no matter what.
Exactly.
It definitely helps to have other people doing it too, you know.
Of course. Right. You need all the tools you can get your hands on.
Now, yeah.
My last question about the business aspect is there any such thing as a guaranteed style of comedy? For example, political and environmental never seem to go out of style. I mean, does it change with the decades? Is there something where if you're starting out in comedy, you say, okay, if I write political jokes or environmental jokes, they're a guaranteed hit. Is there any guaranteed style of comedy?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that, like you said, there's always a market for political humor. I think there's always a market for dirty humor. You know, I think if you were starting out like a comic and you were like, what can I get into that is going to be always have an opportunity at hand for me? I would probably just write in as many different genres as you can, whether it's blogs, screenplays, submissions for TV shows. I think that from the more I go to festivals and workshops and stuff like that, everybody always says, no matter what, you should always be able to write, because that's going to be one of the things that is going to keep you marketable forever.
That's right. And you can just build up your little joke book, and maybe you can pull them out of the hat when you're 60 years old. Nobody won't remember.
The other thing, too, that I should add, too, when I was up at that Woman in Comedy Festival, they had some really cool panels of comics, that just talking about their experiences in the world. And they were saying, they also said about the writing thing, and but their point was that if you can write, then you can just create your own projects to work on, and then try to get people to back you on that, because people are always looking for new projects, new content. You know, that's one of the things that
Yeah, that's something I tell actors all the time. If you're out there auditioning and you're not getting cast for whatever reason, just start writing your own stuff. With the venues that we have now, such as YouTube and all of these other festivals, write your own stuff and submit it, because somebody might see you and they might like you. So just don't wait around for somebody to come knocking on your door. Don't wait for the impresario to come, because those days are long gone. Honey, child.
That's true. This is really sad. I'm like, I wish I had gotten into entertainment 40 years ago. I think it would have been a lot more fun easier.
They did everything for you back then. Once they signed you up, they sent you to charm school and beauty school. You knew how to walk and sit.
Word is they got you a husband.
I know! Even the men who wanted husbands got wives, but then they could also have a little husband on the side and vice versa. Oh, my God. They managed the press for you. It was just such a happy time. I mean, if they can turn my darling Jean Harlow into a society queen, one of my favorite people of all time, then they can make anybody look like a... They can make anybody look good.
But that doesn't even happen. I mean, that doesn't happen for anybody nowadays. I feel like nowadays it goes the other direction. You know, you start to get big and people are tearing you down. They have Lindsay Lohan and, you know, everyone's...
Exactly.
Instead of being like, oh, let me take this famous person and give them even a better life, they're like, look at this person got famous. Let's see how we can destroy them. What I mean?
It is. It is a different time, and I just can't even see what's going to happen 50 years from now. Oh, that's just too much for me. Now, you've got some exciting things coming up. April 7th through the 10th, you're going to Palm Beach Film Festival to see your screening.
Yes.
Lonely Girl.
I know. I cannot wait. I'm leaving on Thursday morning, and I can't wait. You know, it's going to the Lonely Girl 48 is the same film that won at the Boston Comedy Festival in November. But the Boston Comedy Festival is, it's a comedy festival, so there's all sorts of comedy going on. The film aspect of it is just a portion. So this is going to be the first real film festival where it's, you know, parties and all that stuff. I'm going down with Vicki Cooperman, who's another comic who I made the movie with. And, yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to do that, and also to just be in the sun. This winter has been brutal. I feel like I've been very cranky.
Where are you? What?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. It's been a hard days and nights over on the East Coast. Wow.
Yeah, it's been bad. And I need to be – I can't wait.
Suffering
from
sad, right? Seasonal.
And I'm bringing my bikini on the plane with me so I can get right off and go right into the sun.
Well, like, everybody will appreciate that.
I'm so pale, I think I'm going to be, like, reflecting. People are going to be like, what's that bright light over there?
Oh! Now, did you write Lonely Girl 48, or is that something you were cast in as an actress?
I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it! Oh! See that, people?
Yeah.
This is exactly what Kendra was saying. Write your stuff, and then you went ahead and submitted it to film festivals on your own?
Yeah, and we got into the Boston Comedy Festival. We won. Now we're in Palm Beach. We actually got called from Tribeca Film Festival. We were under consideration, and they had to disqualify us because we had shown it online. And I didn't know this, but one of the things for the Tribeca Film Festival, none of the films in Tribeca Film Festival have ever been shown online. I never knew that.
Yeah, there are a lot of rules that you have to follow. For example, when you're doing a short film and you go under a SAG contract, new media, you actually have to, it works in reverse, you have to show it for a week online before you can enter it into a festival. So there's lots of rules and regulations, people, so that's a good point Kendra brought up.
Yeah.
Because you make a film, you got to make sure you read all of the festival's rules and regulations because they will pull your film. Now, I understand that you also have two new films coming out in June. This is exciting. Now, does this include the animation one?
The animation, I'm hoping, oh my goodness, I was hoping to have it by tomorrow, but I don't know if that's going to happen. That is an animation that's based on my blog, Blonde Logic. A lot of the blogs that I do, I guess I should say the ones that people really respond to and like the most are about my family. So we started, I collaborated with this girl who actually did a lot of the production on Lonely Girl 48. She is an animator, and I didn't know that. And she was like, you know, if you ever wanted to try an animation. So I sent her a bunch of little short scripts, and she's been working on one based on my mother and my sister and myself. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be really funny.
Is that one of the two new films coming out in June?
Yes, one of them. And then the other one is another short film based on, I've been trying to do, I did Lonely Girl 48, and then I had this other one called Casual Sex. And now this one is another dating one. I'm trying to do three different sort of relationship ones and then move on to a new topic. So, I'm excited. I really like doing them.
You write them, produce them, direct them, star in them, or do you give anybody else a title? Does anybody else have a title?
No, I work. I write them, and then Vicky Cooper and I have been producing them, and then we also, I guess I got to figure out the exact terminology because we've been like producing them, but then we work with this other company called One Glass Production, who's Valerie Estabrook and Stephanie. They produce it in terms of they do the camera work and the audio. So I got to figure out the exact titles that everyone should get, I guess, instead of just being like me.
Give somebody. Share the wealth, darling. Now, you have two popular weekly blogs. One of them is Blonde Logic, and the other one is Beauty and the Beast, right?
That one's been getting a lot of good responses. I read it with, basically, we get, either someone writes in, we've been getting a lot of people writing in lately. Every once in a while, we'll just choose a topic to write about. Me and a gentleman named John Powers, he's a comic. He's actually in Florida right now, but he's moving back to New York in a couple months. So he's been doing it remotely, but it's been doing well. And Joel just added a Facebook page for us too, the Beauty and the Beast blog. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been going on for over a year now. So
where can we find them on Blonde? Your website? What is it? Blonde?
The Blonde Logic one is blondelogicblog.com. And you can also get to it through my website, KendraCunningham.com. Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast is on the Comedy Point website. But if you just Google Beauty and the Beast, I think it's Beauty and the Beast relationship blog, it should come up. And it's also on my Facebook page.
All right, Kendra Cunningham. Now, rumor has it you're hoping to get to Scotland for some shows. Did Joel Richardson book you on those, or did you book them, or how did you get them?
So it hasn't been confirmed yet. I just started reaching out to some people festival over there at the end of the summer, and I wanted to go to that, but it ended up that you really have to make a huge commitment to be over there for like 8 weeks in one area of Scotland. So I started calling around to some friends and stuff, and just getting some names of bookers over there and emailing out my clips online and everything. And I'm hoping to go over there. I would like to be able to do a couple of different things, either probably the end of August, beginning of September, and go over there and maybe go to Ireland and England. And I mean, the comedy over there is so much different. I'm just dying to just be part of it for a little bit.
Oh my
Gervais. I love Ricky Gervais.
God, I love that guy.
Oh, I want to be him. I love him. I'm so jealous.
If you want to see some really good British comedians, watch the Graham Norton show. Hysterical.
Okay.
people I've never even heard of. I haven't even heard of these comedians. You watch, he always has a musician, an actor, and a comedian on, sometimes two or three comedians at a time. And I swear I have tears rolling out of my never heard of these people. Never. But they're famous.
Oh, my God.
So check it out.
Graham Norton? Okay, Graham Norton. I'll look it up.
Show.
Get it on Netflix?
It's on the BBC. BBC
oh,
channel.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We've had Kendra Cunningham on. We thank you so much, Kendra. Check out her website, KendraCunningham.com. Also, her very funny BlondeLogicBlog.com. She's also on Twitter under Kendra Comedy, and we are going to check her out after this show. Thank you so much, Kendra.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
God bless you. God bless you, and I wish you all the luck in the world. We hope you come back.
You too. You too. If there's anything ever I can, any more questions I can answer, I'd love to do it.
I'm having you back next year. Consider I'm going to contact you.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.